Let's open our Bible in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Yeah. When I'm coming here, there's a lot of car crash everywhere. So I have to find my way coming here. I came up across one of the billboards saying, someone might need your dough. But praise the Lord for the timing, because I believe the greatest need for them is the gospel. Because what we're doing right now is we're distributing the RU bag, Christmas blessing. It's not because that we giving it to them just to enjoy all the things that are in there, but also to reach them by the gospel.
Amen.
My throat are drying. Okay. Let us read on chapter 8. I have an outline here, and I something that I think I would do differently, because sometimes the outline is my outline, but we need the outline from the Lord. I believe so. Let's just start on the 8. Okay. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed unto the churches of Macedonia. Okay, and let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. I believe this will help us see why we should be a committed Christian. Chapter 3, verse 10 of Ephesians, it says here, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heaven and places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. As you can see in verse 1 of chapter 8, 2 Corinthians, it says there, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the church of Macedonia. And I wrote down here in my notes, the wit means the ability to relate, or so as to illuminate or amuse. So the people that are gathering there in the church of Macedonia not only are coming just to see each other, for us, like we all see each other anyway every Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, that because it is because of the manifold wisdom that God bestowed to the church. I believe the first learning that we are going to have is in the church. Even Apostle Paul, he learned it from the church. And correct me if I'm wrong, we have a 2 Bible student here. Not a good timing to, Pastor. Not a good timing to do the preaching. But anyway, we'll continue. Okay. We'll continue to verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And this, let's jump to 5. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And so, and let's go to verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that is, that as there was a readiness of the will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Let's repeat that verse. Can you say that with me, please? For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that man, and not according to that he hath not. Amen. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, Lord, we are here, Lord, not only to gather, Lord, but to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will help us, Lord, understand what you have for us in your word. And Lord, hide me behind your cross. And I know I'm frail and I'm weak sometimes, Lord, but help us, Lord. The Holy Spirit, Lord, will be our teacher tonight, Lord. And Father, forgive me, Lord, for my sin so that I can clear anything that are in my mind and my heart, Lord. And you be magnified, Lord, within your servant, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Title is The Committed Christian, of course. And commitment to our Lord brings glory to God. And as we are serving and working for the glory of God, it involves commitment and consecration. I wrote down here, a commitment is a dedication or assigned to some particular course. Yeah, assigned to some particular course. And I put the verse in Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And in Psalms 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And consecrate is devote solemnly to purpose, devote solemnly to a purpose. It means like sanctified or set apart. Timothy says it this way, that he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Here's what I believe in. We read chapter 8, verse 12 of 2 Corinthians twice. Because this is what I get from this verse. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that man, and not according to that he hath not. It is in our willing mind. I think God will take the small things that we have, not even the biggest things or the one that you know more. It is what you committed to God, just a small little things, and he will put it, make it into something. I put here in Numbers, as a part of the, if a man bow a vow unto the Lord or swear, it's Numbers 30 verse 2, if a man bow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Okay, 1 Kings 8:61, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God to walk in the statutes. Is that right? And keep his commandments as this day. As this day means the present, at present time. Okay? According as this day, present tense. And your future. It's like what it says in Psalms 37, verse 5, and he shall bring it to pass. So all what we need is to just make the first step, give ourselves willingly, our mind, and he will take that, and he will take that little things. Before I go to Genesis 26, I want to share a testimony when I first came here in ABC. I hope it's just going to take a short one. 7:40. It's up. Oh, higher. Sorry. I don't know. Thank you. Let's open our Bible in Genesis 26. So let's just hold our under Genesis 26. This has something to do with the commitment of a Christian. That we'll just see how God will work on this one as we read it later in Genesis chapter 6. I'll just share a short testimony. I wrote it down. I just didn't get it with me, but I'm going to start anyway. My commitment in ABC, in Anchor Baptist Church, first started with a phone call about the FBI, if you can still remember that, Pastor. So I said to the Lord, Lord, I wanted to know more about you. So that's what God took from me. I wanted to know more about you. I didn't even say that I wanted it to be a someone or some preacher or something or some big known or something. I just wanted to say, Lord, I wanted to know you more. So I wanted to learn from the chronological arrangement of the Bible. And Pastor said, oh, this is the schedule, Tuesday. And that time, it's not online yet. Okay? We need to come here. So hear this. We need to come here every Tuesday evening from 6, Pastor, 6 to 9 or something like that. But I have a job and two of them. But I told the Lord, I do want to learn about you, Lord. So God opened the door. He posted an early morning schedule for my work. I applied, I got accepted, but I have to give up my other job, my permanent part-time job. And I told her, you just have to provide. I don't know what to do up because I have a family, right? So he provided still, even with one full-time job and the part-time job in the evening. And only Tuesday, I asked the Lord, but Wednesday I can also attend. But my Sunday, it won't work with me. It's 4 days on and then 2 days off. So it's a rotation. So I can attend one Sunday, I cannot attend the other one, or just bring my family here in the church in Cameron. And after that, God opened another door. And he closes the other one. I wouldn't go to the details. He closes the other one. But God opened another door. I have a friend that I just met online with my business. Then he told me, you can apply here. So I applied. Now I have the Wednesday. My day off is Wednesday, Tuesday and Wednesday. So I have the 2 days now. The two that I can attend the RU. The FBI and the Wednesday midweek service is like this. And every Sunday alternate. And then after that, God opened another door, so I have to give up the other one again. But now it's Monday to Friday, morning shift. And before I can attend the evening because of we moved from Cameron to Armstrong. God still provided that one, so I can still attend every Sunday. So I get now 3 days. But still, God is providing. So what I mean by that is the commitment that we have doesn't come from a big thing, like I have to give all. Lord, this is what I can only give to you. I want to know you more. Please give me the schedule that I can be. I've been praying for that. For decades, I didn't get that in Canada. I've been praying for that. My family are praying for that. My wife, that I can have a Sunday off. I never had that since I started coming here 2005, when I committed myself to ABC, and I'm grateful for that. And yeah, let's go to Genesis chapter 26, verse 19. I believe we will start on the verse 15. That's probably what was the, and then we will jump on there. For all the wells which his father's servants has digged, this is, I think, Abraham and Isaac. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And then let's jump to 18, I think. And Isaac did dig again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistine, had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants dig in the valley and found their well of springing water. And the herdman of Gerar did strive with Isaac, herdman saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of the well Esek because they strove with him. And they dig another well and strove for that also. And they strove again for strove that they, how can you, in English, strove, like a contention, between the two, because it's theirs, right? It's not in their territory. That's what they, when they digged it. And he removed from thence and dig another well. And verse 22. And he removed from thence and dig another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, "For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful." Okay. Both of this commitment and consecration has something to do with this one. Okay? Both of these are an internal pressure that flows spontaneously. And a true commitment should flow naturally and freely, just like the spring of water here that Isaac dig. It means like, this is what it meant. It is called, I think, the artesian well. If we can see, Google or something, the artesian well. This is from which the water flows under natural pressure without pumping. Our commitment should flow naturally or freely. We can see how, in the book of Acts, how people are martyred in the book of Acts. I believe we were talking about that with a pastor was speaking about that in these few Sundays, about the book of Acts. And we see how Stephen, a man full of ghosts, full of faith and power, and he did great and miracles among the people. We can read it in chapter 6 of Acts, verse, I believe 5. Yeah. "And the same pleased the whole multitude. They chose Stephen, a man of full faith, and the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Nicanor, and so on and so forth." And then we go jump to, I think it's verse 18. Is there an 8 in there? Verse 8, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Commitment and consecration should flow naturally and for us Christians. For those people that have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and now Jesus Christ dwelleth in us, and we have that power, and the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and we know even when Stephen was stoned to death, you can see here, even in Paul, I think I'm getting ahead of myself. This commitment should flow naturally and freely, just like what Paul had. It's says in 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 14, the love of Christ constraineth us, or constraineth Paul. In 1 John chapter 3, 16, "I hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Jesus Christ died for our sin. Without the shedding of blood of Jesus, there is no remission of sin. So, the same thing, we have to lay down our lives for the brethren and for the people that are around us, reach them with the gospel, is for them to be saved too, right? But then again, we need that faithful commitment and consecrate life with the Lord. I believe so. So we can be used by God. And sometimes I failed. Ask for forgiveness for God. He's faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. That's all we need to do. And that Christ dwell in your heart by faith, that ye be being rooted and grounded in love. You know that God, we love God, we love Jesus Christ because He first loved us. We love God because He first loved us. And, yeah, where are we now? Yep, and Ephesians, yeah, that's Ephesians 3, 19 and 20. And then there allow Christ to fill their hearts and lives with the burden for souls. In the New Testament, we see Christ all the time. When he saw the multitude, he had compassion on them. Even when he see individual. We can see like when he saw Zacchaeus, he was the chief publicans in that time. He was a chief publican at that time, and he was rich. I think I misspelled the rich. He was rich, and do you know why he's rich? The answer is also in there, in the verse in Luke chapter 19, verse 2, because he was the chief among publicans. He is a tax collector, or something like that. I don't want to mention our tax collector here. I'm just going to mention the Philippines BIR. So people are getting rich on that. not here. Okay. And look at Zacchaeus. What did Zacchaeus did when Jesus called him to go down and said, and Jesus came to his house, right? And then when Jesus came to his house, and then he got converted. Let's just turn to that, bro. I think it's Luke chapter 19, right? Verse 8. Let's go to Luke chapter 19, verse 8. Okay. 19, verse 8. And when, verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto Zacchaeus, make haste and come down for today I must abide in at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He received him, Jesus Christ, joyfully. And after that, when he received Jesus Christ joyfully, of course, when someone gets saved, Satan is there and someone in your friends might, you're just crazy, you're accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. You're just going to be with this cult, but we're not a cult. Okay? And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. That's the kind of commitment that Zacchaeus did for the Lord after he received him joyfully. Where I'm getting here is like, it's like an artesian well. You don't even need to pump it. It just goes naturally, goes out in their heart because Jesus Christ dwells in their heart. By faith, of course, through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. Yep, correct. I know the Holy Spirit is in our heart. And let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and let's see how committed they are to Jesus Christ or to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's go back there. And we'll start in verse 2. Even in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, their deep poverty, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So, even in the great afflictions, they still abound with joy, abounding liberty or out of of the deep poverty. Yeah, and I believe this is why they are because they stand in Matthew 7:24, verse 25. Therefore, heareth this saying, and that doeth them, I will take liken him unto wise men, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and wind blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for their faith was founded upon a rock. I believe so. That's what the people of Macedonian, Church of Macedonian, have. Their faith was founded upon a rock. Even floods came down, the winds descend or the rain descend, it did not move them from making this decision or willingly giving themselves to the Lord. If you go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says here, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. So those are the things that they were seeking, those things that were above. And where Christ seated on the right hand of God, set your affection on the things above, not on the things of this earth. They were giving themselves, I believe Pastor mentioned this, even more than what they, even when Paul says, that's enough, I don't want to, Pastor mentioned this on Sunday, that's enough, I don't want your money anymore. But they still keep on giving. Because they know that they are not they are not laying up treasures upon the earth, where moth and thrust that corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust that corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Their heart is in giving for the mission. Giving for the mission. For the souls. They have the burden for souls. Or the song says, passion. He's praying, give me a passion for soul, Lord. I believe that's what they were goaling in here. Or their goal here as their commitment. And as a followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. As a disciple. What I believe, though, and I won't tell the story anymore. Yeah, because we don't have that time. Yeah, I have a story for that, but let's just skip on that one. And their giving are also motivated by love. And verse 6. I don't know if I can finish this, but. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's just go to verse 8 probably. And I speak not by commandment, but by occasion, of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So they learned the principle, this principle from our master, the Lord Jesus Christ, to give the giving. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you good measures, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Then, and the wild Macedonian church given far more than they can give. Just like Pastor said, even Apostle Paul is already saying that no, not. I remember he mentioned that in a Sunday service or Wednesday, I forgot now. And in verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it, that is, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which she have. In verse 12, okay, voluntary gave from their heart. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that man, to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. I believe, we still have time, Pastor. Maybe, yeah, 5 more minutes. Okay, let's go to Acts 20, third one. And we should be like, in our commitment, we should be like toiling like, to be Christ-like, like, not like, instead of going backward, we need to move forward to Him, not thinking those difficulties in our lives. Because I shared this to the RU before. The more I think about the cares of this world around me, the more it created fear in my heart. But the more I look unto Jesus and go forward, the fear is still there, but He promised victory. I think it's in 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. We are an overcomer. Yeah. That's what I learned from this. And a committed Christian is a picture of Christ Himself, striving to be one of Christ's disciples that they will not forget. Pastor mentioned that in the Sunday in verse 35, in the book of Acts, verse 35. Let's just go to the book of Acts. When Apostle Paul was saying goodbye to which church was that, Pastor? I forgot. Book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 32. This is the last one. 5 more minutes. Am I in the right book? Yes, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all, to them which are sanctified. We are sanctified, consecrated, set apart for the work of the Lord. And have coveted no man's silver or gold apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto the my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord. Remember the words of the Lord. Be Christ-like. How He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when He had thus spoken, I think it's just the last verse, yeah. And when they had thus spoken, He kneeled down and prayed with them all. They all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. Can't help but think about the Lord's Supper here, just like what we did last two Sundays ago. Yeah, we remember Jesus Christ of His servanthood. Humility. Same thing they remember. They will remember Paul. They wept sore and fell on Paul's neck. They will miss him so much, just like in Jesus Christ's time when before he ascended, he gave himself to the disciple. They serve him with humility as a servant. Let us be just Christ-like. He never complained of anything, even if he knows he will be sacrificed on that night. He said, your will be done.